up a little bit and get a little bit closer to you. And I'm also going to put you to work through this lesson. If we can pass some papers around. Ron, let me give you a half of this and you can take care of this section. And if you guys could, oh, Andrew, would you do that? I'll get this young lady here. And then ushers, if we could have pencils. Yep, Scott's on the ball. As Dom prayed, we are doing a series in the book of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John on love, true love. And it has been pretty exciting to think about God's love and the availability made to us. Now, once you get your papers, if you could draw something like this on it. And see that little line between there? Very important. Okay, we're going to talk about that. All right? Everybody, can you see that back there, Linda? Good eyes. All right? Yeah, it looks like glasses. Well, we're trying to see God's love through His eyes. And maybe for those who are visiting or those who haven't been here for a few weeks in our study of love, let me just give you a little brief synopsis from my point of view as I've been studying. You know, John writes quite a few times in the epistle, in the beginning or from the beginning. We're going to see a passage today about that. And we know the scriptures start out, in the beginning God created the world. And we understand that God created all this for the purpose of His glory. And first of all, Lucifer, the son of the morning star, the angel, was so prideful that sin erupted in the heavens and he was thrown out. Then when God created man, someone who was so special beyond all creation, we were made in the image of God. And when He created us, He didn't just say, good. He said, very good. And man sinned and again seemed to disrupt the plan of God and His glory. But God knew all this from the beginning. And even before He created the world, it tells us, He had the plan of redemption in place. And we're learning that this kingdom that God is building through redeeming a people to Himself, the key, how would you say it, DNA of those who are in His kingdom, what flows through my spiritual veins is love. And we're even going to see in this passage, as we've seen before, if love, God's love, isn't flowing through my spiritual veins, then there's only two options. Either I don't have God indwelling in me yet, which we're going to share, you can do that even today, or I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I have acknowledged that. Ask Him to be my Savior, turned and repented from my sins, and put my faith in Him, and the Holy Spirit has come and indwelled me, and yet I'm not producing the love that He wants me to have because I'm not letting Him rule my heart. I'm not submitting to who He is. And today we're going to learn another aspect of this wonderful love. Here's what I want you to write down. In the circle, and I'd say put it to the right, your right circle, put in there true love. That's been the title of the series. This circle is true love. Then under that, you can put God's love. Because only true love can come from God. Those who are not in Christ or don't believe or believe in something else besides God and Christ as His Son coming as a Savior cannot have genuine, true, godly love. They can have some nice things and they can have a love that doesn't measure up to God, but we're learning about God's love, agape love, and that's what we want to go for. So this is God's love. And we learned that George taught us about forgiving love. With God's love, there's a tremendous amount of forgiveness from God incredible that God can wash away all my sins. We sang about it today. That is a truth that we absolutely want to believe. And now that I've been forgiven, I can forgive you, or should forgive you, because of God's great love. What a beautiful attribute to have in our lives is the ability to forgive one another and be forgiven by God. So we learned that through George. Then we learned about this enlightening love. I talked about that God's love can take away the darkness that's part of our lives and let us shine through with His love. Beautiful thing. Then Scott talked about this eternal love. This love that God wants us to have in us does not diminish. It doesn't lose power ever. That's neat. A lot of guarantees that we buy stuff today, it don't last. My buddy John's having a refrigerator that's recently bought, and it's nothing but trouble. You know, this love never diminishes one iota. Or Peter says this way, it doesn't spoil, fade, or perish. That's the love that God wants us to have. It's eternal. Then Jeff talked about transforming love. When I allow God to live in me through His love, I'm being transformed. Dom shared about that. God's doing that in his life. He can see that. That's the only thing that can happen. When God is living in me and His love is coming out of me, I'm being transformed into the image and character of God through Christ. And we read that in the passage as well. Today, we're going to learn about sacrificing love. And I couldn't help but think, even this week, how we've had an opportunity to display sacrificing love in a wonderful way. All this week, everyone would work all day long to get home, shove food down their face, and over here to the church to be with a bunch of kids who have energy beyond any of us. Nonstop, like that eternal love. And you kept up with it. And I could hear the old people going up and down, up and oh, my knees. But you hung in there. You sacrificed. That's marvelous. We're going to look at some things that God says about sacrificial love that's very, very powerful. As a matter of fact, not only powerful, it's compelling. And I hope, for me, it's pretty convicting. So what I want to do is we're going to look at the passage. Does anybody need Bibles? Scott, where's Scott? Oh, he's right up front. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We want to go through this. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 11. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start reading, and then I'm going to stop and make some comments along the way. And hopefully, and I think we will because I'm even on early, we should be able to get through the whole passage and then have a time of communion and remembrance of the greatest sacrifice that was ever shown to us through Christ, and that's our remembrance of communion. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 11. This is a message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. There's that whole phrase you've heard from the beginning. It has always been God's idea from the very beginning that His people who follow Him would be characterized with love. Hands down. It's all through Scripture. Do not, now He gives us a negative or someone who did not practice this so we can learn from it. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Now in the other circle that you have, put evil, murder, let's put this way, evil, which leads to hatred, which leads to murder. That's the two contrast here. Okay, continuing the verse 12, and why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now, if you study a little bit about Cain, and here's what hit me as I studied. It's amazing. Adam was made by God through the dust of the earth, formed him, molded him, and breathed into him life. Eve, the first woman, was made from the rib, the side of Adam. Cain was the first man that was born out of the natural cycle of life that we have today. The very first man, and here he is committing murder. You look at that story, and it's a time where his younger brother Abel, who was a sheep herder, Cain was a tiller of the ground, made fruits and vegetables and whatever. The scripture doesn't tell us what he made. Two men who worked with their hands, and it said Abel came and gave a righteous sacrifice to God. Whether that his heart was pure or he gave a perfect lamb, the law wasn't given yet, so they didn't have this. But I believe in my heart, because God sacrificed an animal for Adam when he sinned, that I think they knew the system, but it doesn't tell us. It was not written down, so we don't really know. And Cain gave some of his fruit or the produce that he grew himself. Possibly it wasn't the first fruit. It was left over. Maybe ears of corn had a lot of rotten stuff in it. We don't know all the things behind that. But whatever he did, it was not pleasing to God. And God mentioned that to him. And immediately the Bible says he became angry. And his countenance fell, is what the scripture says. Or possibly because of rejecting, he became depressed and sad. And these emotions began to work in his heart. And God warned him, "Be careful, Cain. You're at a place where you can be tempted, where sin is crouching at the door. It's trying to slip into the presence of his heart." And he didn't listen to that. The right response, I believe, should have said, "Lord, what would you want me to do? I'm sorry that you didn't really see my gift as something worthy. How can I fix it? How can I make it right? Please me, forgive me for that." No, it was all self-absorbed and basically feeling sorry for himself and becoming angry. He turned to his brother and killed him. And God says, boy, that's the epitome of not having God's love in our hearts. So God gives us this example through 1 John that this isn't what love looks like. Then it tells us in verse 13, "Don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we have loved our brothers." Basically, he's saying too, if we begin to do what honors God, there will always be a people who don't care for that, for whatever reasons. But it's an encouragement to say, expect the world, those who don't know Christ, who don't believe in him, to not appreciate your devotion to Christ. Now, some do, some aren't all of it, but I think God is saying, if we live a righteous life, you will be eventually despised by some people or ridiculed. I know at work, I was ridiculed at times for what I believed. Sadly to say, it didn't affect me too much because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've believed and will one day present me before him holy and spotless. I know God's word is true and Christ is the genuine way, as we saw on the video today. So I'm saddened if someone doesn't believe that and want to make fun, even though none of us want to be made fun or ridiculed. But we need, through John, to say, hey, don't be surprised. Just like we learned this week, God's word is surprising. Oh, yeah. It's been a long week, right? Don't be surprised if you're resented because you tried to live a Christian life. Don't be a hypocrite. But if you're genuinely living a Christian life, don't be surprised at it. Many people will be against you. Verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death to life because of what Christ has done, because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Powerful statement, all right? Love is an indicator that I have been changed by Christ. I can't do that on my own. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. That's also said in Galatians. There's a whole list of those who won't receive eternal life. Murder is one of them. This is how we know what love is. And here's the sacrificial love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's the ultimate. And most of us know that. When we understand the cross, we understand the very definition of love. Christ did not have to go to the cross, but he chose to for you and I. We would have been hopelessly lost forever. But Christ paid the atoning death for us, the substitute for us, because of sin. Sin had to be paid for. God, who is a just God, had to punish sin. And the punishment for sin is death. But God, before the earth was even created, knew that he was going to use his Son to be our substitute. A marvelous story of love. Don't forget that. Christ on the cross, and as we celebrate after the message today, this is the epitome of love, his death. Therefore, it says this, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now here's what poked me in the eye. It's easy to understand that Christ died for me, and I believe that. But because of that, if I want to understand God's love, he's telling me I need to be willing to lay my life down for you guys, our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll lay my life down for my wife anytime. My children. But wow, beyond that, speaking from my heart, man, that doesn't sound too good for me to lay my life down. Now, rarely in our life do we have to lay our life down for each other. In some other countries, yeah. We've seen that with Nazi Germany and people risking their lives to hide people in their homes. Or even today, with all the martyrs around, China, North Korea, there's many people killed in North Korea today because they name the name of Christ. And people try to save each other for that. And I think that's what God is saying. We need to be able to understand, here's the level of sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Am I willing to do that? Then we get to the next passage, and I think he's trying to really, you know, help us understand the depth of this. We may never have to lay our lives down for our friends. That's the kind of love we're talking about here. Jesus said, no greater love has this than a man will lay down his life for his friend. We even see that in our military, where men and women do lay down their lives. Ultimate love. But here's what I think he's trying to tell us. If you never have to do that, and most of us won't, at least if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? All right, I can do this, even though sometimes I may not be unwilling or don't. We need to understand here at Hope, if I want to have the sacrificing love that God is talking about in this passage, the special love that can only be produced by God himself in and through us by his Holy Spirit, then I need to be willing to say to my brothers and sisters here, and whenever I hear of others around the world who name the name of Christ, I need to be able to share what I have very freely, very openly. Now, I do believe here at Hope, even with our benevolence, which we're going to take today, first Sunday of the month, we have a second offering that we take for those in need. And we have a tough economy, and we have been spending over this past year a few thousand dollars for those in need, whether it's food, whether it's they can't pay their electric bill or mortgage. We have been helping out. God is saying, at least be willing to do that. And again, you know, we may, I'll give a dollar or something. We're talking about sacrifice here. Understanding what God's love is, that I would be willing, through God flowing in and through me, through his power, to say, you know what? Whatever your need is, I'm going to sacrifice whatever I have to be able to help that need. That's the kind of love that God is having. Now, you got your circles here. You see that little line? I'm going to suggest to you how long that line is and the depth and what's between. Now, I read one commentary, and I want to be honest with you, I haven't come to a full conclusion this, but I read one commentary who said, if I don't have God's love, I live in this circle over here. I can disguise it, and maybe it doesn't look like hatred or murder, but if it's not God's love, it's not there. I don't know if I can be that strong. I think there's things in the middle. I think, though, and I want to talk about this, and you can help me with this, but let me give you a little illustration. It's interesting. In the scriptures, especially in the very beginning of time, and I want you to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 29. But there's three different stories in the scriptures where it talks about someone hating someone else. Esau hated Jacob. Jealousy, and there's a whole lot to unpack with that family where the dad cared for Esau more than he cared for his other son. And mom cared for Jacob more than the dad did, and just all kinds of stuff. A family who really lacked God's love, and it really brought tremendous problems. Also, there's a story where Joseph's brothers hated him. Sadly, again, Jacob didn't learn his lesson from his own father and had special children, and Joseph was his favorite, and his brothers hated Joseph because of that, because he was the favorite. So there's a lot of hatred going on in the patriarchs of Israel, which is sad. And we're going to look at another passage here where Jacob and Leah. And if you remember the story of Jacob and Leah, he was in love with Rachel. When he saw this gal who was beautiful, I want her. What do I need to take, Dad, to get her? Well, come work 7 years for me. She's yours, which, yeah, it's a horrible thing to do too, you know. Sell your daughter for labor stuff. But he was tricked. You remember the story? And he got Leah. And I want to read you a passage here just about that story. And then Leah was heartbroken because she wasn't loved. We all encounter, when we're rejected and don't understand and don't receive love, man, it hurts deep. And there's all kinds of problems in our society because of the lack of love, especially a lack of love that God wants to give out. So the story is that he's willing to work the second 7 years to get Rachel. And it says in chapter 29, in verse 30, it says this, Jacob lay with Rachel also, now that he's got Rachel. And he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Then God's response is, God watches all this. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So God is stepping into this situation. This isn't the best translation in the NIV. If you go to the Hebrew in here, the word is actually, when the Lord saw that Jacob hated Leah. He was in love so much with Rachel, He was probably angered that he was tricked for 7 years, that anger, from God's perspective, was hate. So it's unkind to say he loved him more. He loved Rachel more than Leah. God is basically saying, there wasn't love for Leah. And if there's not love for Leah, then it's a short line. And I want to try to be as practical for you and I as we who believe that we're living in a kingdom of God that's special. And that is probably the number one picture of what the church should be, is a church full of love. We've said it here many times, the three powerful ingredients of the church is faith, hope, and love. And then Corinthians says, and the greatest of these is love. I've often illustrated it this way. It's like a flower that's rooted in the ground. And it says that faith has to have its roots in God. So a flower's rooted strong, and it begins to grow, so it has this strong stem or trunk. And that is the hope, because it has hope that keeps reaching out. And then eventually, there's the manifestation of that plant or fruit, which is the flower, which is the love. I think all three are necessary, but the appreciation of what it is when it's seen as a beautiful flower. It's operating. This is the greatest, because we're seeing it operate and grow the way God wants it to grow. So, love is the earmark of a Christian. Now, here's what I wrote in between this, and you can help me out here. As we learn this love, and today it's sacrificing love, and let's take the VBS, because there's a lot of work going on, we're tired, and once in a while there's tension. Am I right? Okay. What if I get irritated at you? What circle do you think that should go in? Is that the circle of love? Huh? Okay. Does it need to be put in the other circle? Or is it okay to be irritated? It's kind of what I'm looking for. How long is that line to the circle of evil and hatred? I want you to think about that. How about I get so annoyed at you, another good word, that I become indifferent to you, or ignore you? Or does that fit in the circle of love? No. How about sarcastic? Is that okay? Thank you. But I can be sarcastic with the best of them. You know? Eventually, and here's a word for the day, tolerate. You know, what if we as a church, well, I'll tolerate him this week because we got to get the VBS done. Am I living in the circle of sacrificial love? No. The line's pretty thin. Or I'll put up with him. Aren't I a great guy? You know? How about snubbing, rude, obnoxious? How about slanderous? This is a word we were talking about this week at work, slanderous. Some people think slanderous is just really telling truth about someone or lies about someone. It doesn't matter when it comes to slandering whether it's a truth or a lie. The word slander is taken from a military term, which means it's taking the sword and cutting someone at the back of the legs. It's with the intent of dropping them. That's what slander is. There's no room for slander in the body of Christ. And yet, I can cut people down with the best of them. It's not what God's intent is. Or even dislike. That's a nice word. I dislike him. Where do you think that fits in? Does it fit in? It's okay in the love circle? Yeah? Are you being convicted? I was. No, it doesn't. But we can do that so easily. And I believe what God is saying is, Chick, understand what this love is that I want you to understand. Sacrificial love can only come from me. I have demonstrated what sacrificial love is. So the process that I need to learn is, how do I get this sacrificial love? And I want to finish our chapter, and then I want to kind of give you some practical points on this, and then we're going to just spend some time in remembering our Savior and His sacrificial love. Verse 18. Dear children, dear people at Hope Community Church, and I lost my spot here. 18. Let us not love with words or tongue. Hey, Christo, how you doing? I love you. You're so good. Oh, Christo's got a need. Oh, I can't do it today. No. We don't want to have that kind of love. This, then, is how we know. Do you hear that? This is how we know we belong to Christ. That we belong to the truth. And how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, for He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. I tried to evaluate this in my own life. I think it's very important. Chick, are you really a believer? Do you see the life of Christ in you? I think that's what he's saying here at the end. Do I see? There's times in my life where I sense God's love moving in my heart so I can reach out. And I think I can honestly say, so my heart doesn't condemn me, I have sensed wonderful times where God has moved in my heart and I reached out in His love. There's times I haven't, and I need to work on that. And here's a passage that really awakens my heart to say, Chick, you got to do it more. You got to do it better. Philippians says, grow more and more in your love that it may abound. So, what I want to encourage us, so that our hearts are confident that God is working in us, look for love, genuine love, sacrificing love, or all the loves that we've been learning, transforming love, forgiving love, eternal love in our lives. Do we see at times Christ in us? If we don't, only two things. We're really not understanding and letting God work in us as believers. Or, and here's a powerful thought, we're not believers at all. And that is a tragedy. And God is giving that message today. Come and receive Christ. Let me finish the chapter. Verse 23. And this is His commandment, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him. It's an easy evaluation. Hard to do, impossible to do without the life of Christ in us. But when we do, here's the good news. When I let Christ live in me, God takes over. He's good at loving. And if I will love, if I will submit, if I will let Christ rule my heart, these are all words that are used in the Scripture. If I, in simple prayer, say, God, I believe this. I want you to live in me because I can't produce this kind of love. And this love is exciting. Lord, live in me and submit that. You can believe that God will do that. That's a prayer He loves to answer. You and I have to be willing. We have to be able to say, I'm tired of being selfish. I don't want to live for myself. The scripture says it this way, I need to die to myself. No longer is chick leaving. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm going to let God live in me. There's the kind of thinking I need to practice. And it says, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. The Spirit's job, one of the Spirit's job, not only convicting us of sin and guiding us and explaining the Word of God to us, it is to produce love in me. God wants that to happen in each one of us. So, the answer is, for you and I, who maybe see our love life depleted as far as Christians, we need to really get sincere. We need to confess if there's areas of our lives that doesn't have the love of God in us, so that we could begin to experience this marvelous life God has for us and bring glory to him, because it absolutely will. When the church is bringing, when the church is loving one another, what does John 17 say? The world will say, whoa, now that's love. I want some of that. Let's pray. Father, your love is special. There is nothing like it in all the world. It can't be reproduced apart from Jesus Christ. And we thank you because of Calvary. You have gone and sacrificed your life so that we may be able to live in you. Help us to learn to put off our old selves. Galatians, help us to crucify our flesh. I no longer live, it's Christ in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the power and life of Christ. Thank you for that. I pray for Hope Community Church that we will be a church that really wants to live sacrificially towards one another for your purposes. Amen. As we prepare our hearts for communion, I just want to say this and not embarrass anyone. This table is for all believers. God doesn't want unbelievers to take it, not to exclude you or make you feel bad. But this table is a remembrance that we understand daily that we need the life of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection to live in us, and we remember all that he's done for us. So if you're not a believer and you've been touched by what you've heard, or you sense something in your heart saying, well, I don't quite understand this, but I'd like to. You know, God, can you produce this love in me? He can if you come to the cross. And you understand that the penalty of your sins have been paid for entirely. Come by faith. Come saying, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I need salvation. And the only true way is through your Son, Jesus Christ. You can say that in a simple prayer. God sees that and will forgive your sins. And we're so grateful for that. Let me just lead us in prayer as we prepare our hearts. This is a time where we can, in somberness, in celebration, in gratitude, in confession, come and recognize all that this means for us. We're going to participate by eating the bread together. We're going to have the juice passed out, the cup representing his blood. We'll hold both elements until everyone has it, and we'll take it together, and we'll celebrate what God has done for us. Father, I thank you for this supper, for this communion time, that we can celebrate, that we can be grateful, that we can weep and laugh over all that has been given to us through Jesus. Amen. I'd like the ushers to come forward if they would. We'll pass out the bread. You can just spend time thanking God, appreciating him, talking to him. You know what? Two's probably enough, isn't it? Yeah, go ahead. Take the third one. Let me encourage you not to make that in-between line too long. Don't justify some of our behavior. What you and I need to do is recognize it and realize there's forgiveness at the cross. We're partaking of something that happened about 2,000 years ago so that you and I can live in a way that just honors God, loves each other, and we can communicate to the world that God's kingdom is absolutely special. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, I thank you that your Son was willing to come and die for me. I was unworthy of this. I was a wretch, a sinner. I didn't murder anyone, but at times I hated people in my heart. I remember hating my dad when he would punish me because my heart was evil. And you came and lived a perfect life where you loved everyone and gave your body willingly and then allowed your blood to be spilled, ripped open for all of us who would come to saving knowledge of you as our Savior. Thank you for this meal we're participating in. We partake of it with great gratitude and love. May we love through you, your power in us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Eat the bread, drink the cup.